Welcome to Off the Cut, episode 112 for Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. And as always, we want to continue to remind you that the worst podcast available on Apple and Spotify is the Green Sears Podcast. But the best place to buy woodworking tools is
Still Can Tools. Was last week, was this week, and will still be next week as well.
And probably for the foreseeable future.
We'll see. Contracts up for renegotiation still. They might drop us because I keep saying if it's in their shop, it's in their shop.
Yeah. But so why do we have KM Tools as a sponsor? Why do we pick them, Zach?
Because Jonathan is, first of all, an OG in the space. He's committed to having the highest quality tools in his store because either he or his team made them, or they're actually tools that they literally use in their own workshops. Yeah. It's a commitment to quality that's unrivaled by any other tool retailer out there.
Yeah, I've never had a poor experience with any of the stuff I've gotten from him. And no,
not at all.
The other cool thing is a portion of all of their sales goes directly towards the Cats Moses Woodworkers with Disabilities Fund, which gets the tools and resources into the hands of the folks who need it most. But, Zach, why do our listeners care so much about the KM Tools sponsorship?
Because not only does he sponsor this podcast, but he also sponsors our listeners with a free $50 gift card for one lucky patron every single month.
Yeah. So all you have to do is go over to patreon.com/offthegutpodcast. Any tier level that you join to help support the show, you automatically get entered to win. And we will be doing the next drawing, not the next episode, but the first episode of May.
First episode, so, yeah, okay.
Yeah, make sure you get in there. And speaking of patrons, we want to give a huge shout out to our returning top-tier patrons. We've got Joe Welsh at Delaware Valley Workshop.
See him in live chat.
And yeah, he's in there. Goblin Spanker, Dan Armendrez, Corey Duvall, Dadu, and Josh at Sawdust. Oh my gosh, Sawdust Builds.
Let's go. Woo!
And I guess the other housekeeping we got is tonight is our monthly live hangout video call, what we call BYOC or Bring Your Own Camera. So that'll be going on directly after the show tonight.
It stands for camera.
What do you think it was? Bring your own Canadian?
Corgi?
I don't think I can say on air.
Oh, chicken?
Yeah, chicken. Bring your own rooster. Bring your own
rooster. Well, we will be heading over to do that right after the show. So patrons, there is a link that was sent out about 4 or so days ago directly on Patreon that'll get you access to that video chat. So we will see you over there.
Oh, bring your own. Yeah, Brett says in the live chat, says bring your own caulking. That's what I thought it was.
Bring your own cake. Derek, I think you're like one notch a little loud. I hear. Is it me?
Oh, yeah, that sounds like possibly you. There's a little feedbacky there.
Well, give me one second.
Oh, yeah, that's loud. That's deep. That's
Welcome to the Soul Train. You know, I always wished I had a radio program like that to listen to.
All right, you ever listen to...
That's good.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit better. You ever listen to any radio programs long term?
I mean, truly, I don't know the last time I've even listened to the radio.
Yeah, occasionally it comes on when I get in the car. You know, sometimes you get in the car and it doesn't automatically click over to the Bluetooth connection.
Randomly
it happens like once every 6 months.
Yeah. And you're like, what is this static?
Yeah. Why is the sound quality horrible? Oh.
And then it'll be like, no, but you're listening to HD radio. And you're like, yeah, it still sounds like a potato.
Okay, hold on. Okay, let's back up for a second. What the hell is HD radio?
No one knows.
Because in my car... There's like, if you go to 99.9, there's like 5 99.9s.
Yeah.
What? Like, where are the other ones coming from?
It's all from the same station. It was supposed to be their answer to XM and Sirius like 20 years ago.
Okay.
And it's like they all have substations where they just run music or talk or whatever they, you know, want to run on them. And it was just the whole point was to expand that wavelength and then give you richer sound. And you also get RSS feed across it. So your station, like you should be able to see the song that's playing and what station you're listening to.
I think even sometimes there'll be album art. Sometimes
it depends on the station.
Well, how did this sneak by me? Like, I never got this memo. Maybe I didn't have a car that had HD radio until recently or something like that.
Yeah, the problem is cars didn't really have it until, like you said, until recently. You had to have like a special head unit for it or something like that.
It was all aftermarket stuff. So like the people who would like, you know, the car that you had in high school, right? You couldn't plug your phone into it. So, you know, you bought the little thing that looked like a couple pieces of bread that you like slid in your thing. It had all these jazzy lights. It was a whole shit show.
It was a disco show, and there was a button so that you could pop it off so that's that nobody stole it. Do you remember
now we're traveling with 12-inch tablets, not even caring about anybody stealing it out of the car.
Right.
It's wild, right? Like people used to for real steal radios out of cars though. That was a thing. My parents had their windows smashed like a million times and people would break in and like pry out the radio.
Dude. In college, I had a Volkswagen Jetta. Uh-huh. And have I told you this story?
I don't think so.
Okay. I had a Volkswagen Jetta, and it was stick shift. It was slow as hell, but I was like, man, this is fun, right? You know?
Yeah.
It was very reliable. I had no issues with it. One day, my sister comes home. I lived with my sister when I was in college. She was like drunk or something. It was like 3 or 4 in the morning, right? And she comes like knocking on my door. She's like, "Hey, somebody broke into your car." And I'm like, "Oh, great." I go outside, dude. It is pouring down rain.
Oh, no.
Like to the point where like if you go outside for a second, it looks like you're in a swimming pool.
That sucks.
The passenger window's busted in. And there's like glass everywhere, right? They ripped out the radio, but it was like bolted in to like the console, like the frame, everything. So when they ripped it out, they did so much damage that the car, you couldn't even turn it on. Like, I think they messed up like all the wiring and some of the computer stuff, like behind the dash and behind the instrument cluster and stuff. So, dude. Long story short, I called insurance, you know, they, you know, hauled it away or whatnot.
Yeah.
They wrote me a check. So in the US, a lot of times what insurance companies will do is like, you know, you take it to some place like a body shop or whatever, right? They, you know, do a whole workup and they're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be this much. It was like $14,000 worth of damage. And dude, that's what the car was worth. Like, I don't know how they didn't total the car.
Oh, they actually wrote you a check for $14,000.
They wrote me a check
and gave you the car back.
$1,000. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I would have.
So I got it fixed because, like, I was like,
you didn't get it fixed in the end.
Fine. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have sold a car for parts and then bought a new car or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, looking back, I probably should have because if they did so much damage that the car like literally wouldn't start. There's probably some electric issues that they probably didn't solve.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
you know, like, think about the other side of that too, is, you know, some crackhead or whatever got a Jetta car radio that was probably so badly damaged from his like half-assed extraction. Like, what did he do? Sell it for $50? If that,
probably.
Probably had crowbar marks all over the side of it. The mounting tabs were all bent inwards. Like,
probably going to go to the local 7-Eleven and get a white Monster energy drink. Maybe two of them.
Yeah.
But
what do you think that conversation went like at the pawn shop? Where'd you get this at, sir?
Oh,
I just found it on the street.
Yeah.
I just found it.
Yeah.
It was like that.
Looks like it went through a tumble dryer.
Yeah.
Probably didn't even work either. Because so many of those probably have like those like special codes that you know.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
But all that to say, HD radio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the Wikipedia. Maybe. It started, well, let me back up. What does HD radio stand for?
High definition.
No.
Damn.
Huge dome.
If it was that, yeah, if it was that obvious.
No, it's a hybrid digital.
Oh. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, if this was, so it came around during the whole HD TV. So everybody assumed it was better. So it came out, brief summary, it came out in 2002. Nothing really happened to it. And then basically in order to have that, you did have to have some sort of aftermarket radio, and all the brands that wanted it featured had to pay the company who owned HD radio some sort of royalty.
Oh,
didn't really go anywhere. And then in 2015 or 2016, it was bought by another company and didn't really do a whole lot. And then in 2018 is kind of where it became like commercially really used by people. Okay. So no, you're not wrong that if you haven't bought a car in the last, you know, 6-8 years, you probably don't have it.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Either you guys big Sirius XM users? I know some people swear by it, but I never got into it.
I use it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I drive around a lot.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. I had a Jeep Grand Cherokee for about 2 years. And it was one that I bought it used, had like 10,000 miles on it. So it was basically like somebody had a lease and like turned it in or whatever.
Okay.
Whatever it happens, somehow that car got signed up for a lifetime membership of Sirius. I never paid for Sirius, but I had that car for like 2 years.
Yeah.
I was like, this is pretty good. And then my Ranger had like the six-month trial.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not paying for this. I mean, most of the time when I drive, I'm listening to
audio. Oh, it's ridiculous.
Podcast.
Like, yeah, they like
10 or 20 bucks a month.
It's like 20 a month, but you like, so 24. They'll do like the trial thing or the 6 month thing for you at the beginning, and they'll do it pretty cheap, like 6 months or a year for around 50 bucks usually. Right. And then whenever that runs out, here's the problem I have with it is whenever all that runs out, then they start charging like $20, $25 a month. Until you call them up to cancel it, and you have to call them to cancel it. And then you get on the phone with them and you do the whole dance back and forth. I want to cancel. Oh, well, we'll offer you this. No, I want to cancel. Oh, well, we'll offer you this. And then finally, I'll usually get them to between like $5 and $8 a month on it. Yeah. And that's where I'll renew.
Okay. But so you got to negotiate every time.
And it's annoying. Wow. I hate doing that.
Yeah, they make you pay more for an ad-free version. I thought the whole idea was that the whole network was ad-free.
Originally it was, but they've switched over to this model. Yeah.
They also break Howard Stern. I'm on their website right now, if you can't tell.
Yeah.
They break Howard Stern out as a separate item, like a separate channel. Like you have to pay extra.
The top tier of it or whatever is for if you want him.
That's so funny.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, the times that I had it, and if I've just had like the Alt Nation or whatever, just like the, you know, the alternative rock channel or whatever, when it would come on, I'm like, this is no different than my local radio when it plays the same effing songs over and over again. I think the perks is like if you listen to like a... you want to listen to like golf or like sports games or whatever like that. That's great for that. Mm-hmm. Or like some of those curated channels. Like I love the Grateful. Keith Johnson probably does too. The Grateful Dead channel. Cause they would just play like Grateful Dead concerts like all day, every day.
But why don't you just go, why don't you just like Spotify, Spotify Grateful Dead channel? Okay.
Right.
That's for the part that I've never really understood. Like
that's what I get. That's why I don't pay
all these kind of curated playlists and stuff like that. But why not just do the,
see,
you know, the 80s channel on Spotify or whatever?
Right, right.
Normally, that's what I'll do, is I'll do like radio over the internet on my phone. But the rub I have is I'm down here in the Southwest, and there's big sections that I'll drive through where there's no signal. Yeah. But I can pick up the XM. That's okay, where gotcha. I listen to it at.
Zach and I are city slickers. That's why.
Yeah, I was going to say, I probably had to drive at least 3 hours in one direction to get to somewhere where I don't have reception. Yeah. So it doesn't happen to me too frequently.
Yeah.
I can drive 8 hours in about 3 or 4 directions and still be in Texas.
Yeah. Same thing with Ontario.
So, yeah, I'm not a HD radio man.
Okay. Stupid. Yeah, it's HD radio too.
It's not for everybody. Yeah.
It's free, though, I think, isn't it? You have to, I mean, I certainly don't pay for it, as far as I know.
I think it's
free. Oh, the HD. Yeah. You just got to have the right thing for it.
Yeah. My old truck, let's do another 20 minutes on SiriusXM. People will love this. My old truck used to get, like, when I first got it, it came with a 3-month preview or whatever. And then every year or so, I would get like a month where it would come back for a little bit. So I wasn't sure if they were like just trying to hook me with the. And in my old
every
truck,
November,
it was weird.
I'm not mistaken.
Hmm.
They'll do it for about a month a year.
Or November.
Okay.
I think the Black Friday that they do it for a month or a week or something. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The only reason I would notice was because my old truck used to also have a thing where it would get traffic updates. So it would, the GPS in the car would let you know the traffic, and the traffic was branded as like serious traffic alert or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Does anybody actually use the built-in navigation on their car?
Hell no.
Right? No.
Like, even if you don't have CarPlay.
Yeah.
I would just 1,000% use my phone as the GPS.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
My dad still types it in on the screen. He has like an old Nissan like Rogue or something. And it is so damn slow. I'm like, Dad, just type it into your phone. He goes, I don't want to do it on my phone. It was like, these maps have been
updated
in 6 years.
Yeah. We got the Rogue like 10 years ago. And it had the navigation in it, and you could type it in with your hand. And it took forever. Or there was an app you could get, and you could put it in the app and then send it to your car. But it took like 5 minutes to get to your car. It was ridiculous. And then eventually the app just got shuttered, and it doesn't work anymore. But it was ridiculous. Their whole system was just crazy stupid.
It doesn't make any sense. It's funny. How
I was saying,
when this stuff comes out, you're like, this is incredible, this is gonna work so well, and then a year or two later, like, this is so antiquated, this is painful to use.
Yeah, every car company needs to just make Android Auto and Apple CarPlay like the standard infotainment, just like plug your phone in, and 100%. It just gets mirrored up on the screen. Like, that's all anybody wants
now. Now you don't even have to plug your phone in. We had a rental car a few weeks back. It was a Jeep Wrangler, and it did it wirelessly. It was great. That was always my biggest complaint, is like, I got to plug it in, and if your USB port goes out, you've only got the one, and you can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
The only downside to the wireless Android Auto thing is that sometimes it'll then lock you out of your phone. I don't know what it is about the wireless one, but you get locked into the Android Auto mode, and then you can't manually enter things. A lot of the time I'll just like to pick up my phone and type in the destination I'm going to rather than trying to use my car's infotainment to punch it in. Yeah. But maybe that's just
that's a setting.
Android Auto thing. Oh, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's a setting in the Android Auto. Yeah.
It's only ever happened to me at rental cars, so it's like never something that I've actually really cared to investigate that much.
Yeah.
I think next time I get a rental car, I'm just going to royally F up all of the settings. Like, put the balance and the fader of the speakers and the far back, right? And turn the bass
crank
to the moon and everything.
Yeah.
Turn the treble all the way
down. Have you ever adjusted the fader or the balance in your car? Like, why would you ever want it to be anything other than center?
So,
if you got kids.
Yes. I actually move the, I don't remember which is which. I move that dot up like one or two clicks forward. The reason being, I found that it sounds like you're like listening to a performance rather than just being like enveloped in the sound. Okay. It kind of sound like somebody is in front of you performing just a little bit. Like not a lot. Okay. I'm talking like one or two notches up.
Okay. Okay. I'll give that a shot and see if I like, what am I with the left and the right?
I mean, the only thing I can think of is like dad wants to listen to his music while he's driving and everybody else is like, dad, turn this shit off. Right.
So you just like put it 100% in. Like the,
it. Is that what it is?
Yeah. For me, whenever we're on road trips, I'll listen to podcasts in the car and the kids just put on their headphones anyways. So I'll throw it all the way to the front so that we can hear it. Cause otherwise you got to turn it way up whenever it's all around you. But if you throw it up just to the front speakers, you don't have to crank it as loud.
Okay. Okay.
And then if my wife does the same thing, I just throw it into my corner.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. All right.
Well, smart.
Yeah.
Why don't they just call it the parent settings? People would be like, I get it.
Right. Yeah, they should call it a parent mode or something. Have you ever seen one of those cars that has the intercom to the back seat? It's like the pick up your voice on a microphone and then play it through the speakers in the back. I think it's especially for cars with three rows, or I guess I should say trucks with three rows.
Yeah, but then nobody is going to get to hear the, damn it, Jack, if you don't stop this shit, I'm going to smack you. Hear the parent turn out. I'll turn this car around.
You keep promising that. We're still on the road.
I had this rental car once. It was a three-row SUV, and there was a button at the front where you could remotely flip down the headrests in the back so that you'd have like better visibility out of the rear window.
And or just I was beat on the hell out of the passengers.
Well, yeah, I was on a long road trip with my friends. And I would say, hey, Ian, could you turn around and see if my suitcase is in the trunk? And then as soon as he turned it around, I'd whack him in the face with it. It was pretty aggressive, too. It had, like, a good little kick down to it.
Oh, my God. My face already hurts. I'm only 20 minutes in. Oh. Hey, well, while we're talking about parent stuff, you want to know what made me feel really old today? I think you guys will appreciate this.
All right, let's do it.
Right before the podcast, I'd finished dinner, and I went over. God, I got some in my eye. I went into the fridge, and there was a little fudge. Uh-huh. And so I was like, I could get a little thing of peanut butter fudge, and there was a little plastic knife in there. Uh-huh. And I went to go cut off a little piece of fudge, and the knife snapped. Uh-huh. Out of pure reaction, I go, ah, fudge. And then, dude, I cracked myself up so hard for like 10 minutes. I was laughing hysterically about my terrible joke. And I was like, oh man, I'm getting
Did you
old.
Tell Miranda about it when she got home?
Oh, I will. She's not home. That's wine night. Tuesday's wine night.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, but that's all I got.
That's funny.
Well, on more serious topics.
Mm-hmm.
What was last week, maybe the week before? We were talking about that rinky-dink airless sprayer that connects to your drill.
Yeah, the Graco. The Graco.
Graco.
It is, in fact, Graco. Well, I did a promotion for them.
Oh yeah, is that actually out there? Can I see this?
Yeah. So okay,
I'll look it up after the show.
I do want to start off by saying I told them that I won't do it unless they first send it to me and I get to try it out. And they have to send me the sprayer that I actually wanted, which is
So you got two sprayers for the price of one.
Yeah, which was the ultimate quick shot or something. It's whatever the one that Jason Bent swears by. He told me to buy it. So I said, I will do it under the condition that you send me the sprayer I want. And you send me this one for me to test out. No strings attached. If I hate it, we mutually part ways with the promotion. And, you know, no harm, no foul. Because I didn't want to like...
Yeah. Yeah, don't
agree to
crap.
Do this and have the thing be crap, right?
Yeah, makes sense.
So, okay, so now I have it. Derek, did you get one as well?
I did. I actually put out my video today.
Okay, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised with it.
So was
okay.
I.
Dude, okay.
It is nice.
All right, so how does it work? Is it charging up a compressor? Or
no,
is it some sort of direct drive?
So it's airless. It operates a piston that goes in and out, and it pumps the paint in, and then it's just forcing it through the tiniest little diaphragm or dot or whatever.
Yeah.
And
then so
creating, it's aerosolizing the paint, basically.
If your drill has a, I guess we should recap for the people at home. This is a paint sprayer that you bolt onto a drill, and it's got
up to your drill. Yeah.
Exactly. So if you use the variable speed on your drill, does that vary the amount of paint that comes out?
I did not test that.
So, yes, I tested it. The Festool thing drill, I don't know which one it is. It's whatever, they're like newest drill. It has like 4 or 5 speeds on it. On speed one, which is just asininely slow. Like you could watch the drill bit spin. It's so slow.
Yeah.
It goes like spray, stop, spray, stop, spray, stop, spray, stop.
Because that piston is just...
Exactly.
So
now,
basically unusable at that speed?
Oh, yeah. It's unusable.
Okay.
At speed like 3, I would say it was probably at like a 95 to 98% completely like full fluid spray pattern.
Okay.
On the top speed, it was... God, stupid thumbs up pops up. On the top speed, it was perfectly even. I had zero complaints with it.
Okay.
Yeah, because really the drill is just replacing that motor that they put in one that they would send it like an all together one.
Right. Yeah. Oh, okay. And so what about the brace that holds it all together? Is it, how does the thing feel? Is it a little flimsy in the hand or is it good?
It's a little weight forward because your drill is balanced drill. So you got more weight on the head of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found what I did is I had one hand on the drill, like holding it like a, you know, like a trigger, like a gun. And then the other, I wanted to hold the paint bucket and then it felt fine.
It was like cumbersome.
Yeah.
It wasn't it wasn't like weirdly like creaky or like twisty. Like you'd hold the paint thing at the front and it like twist up. Okay. All right.
And here's the thing I want to try. You can flip it. You can flip that boot the other way and it's got a hopper that you can put on top. And then paint in like one of those little airless hand sprayer guns or whatever.
Interesting. Yeah. Does that change the way it operates or just makes it like
it operates more well? So at that point, it's gravity fed. So that hopper has to stay on the top. If you do the flex cup on the bottom and you get all the air out of it, you can go upside down, right side up, you know, any direction because there's absolutely no air gap between the paint and the sprayer.
Yeah. Gotcha.
It's like a completely pressurized chamber. Basically, like you prime it and it like sucks all the air out of it. And so it just looks like a compressed, like vacuum press bag of paint.
Right. Dude,
it's not bad.
Yeah. Okay. It's impressive.
Okay. Now, the ultimate quick shot. Big step up or maybe not worth it? Okay.
I imagine.
But it's also $1,500.
Yeah.
Oh, is it $1,500? I thought it was more like $9. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I gotta imagine this is their lower end sprayer head. It is labeled or it is geared towards the DIY crowd, so I can't imagine this is their best sprayer head and setup. But it's for a DIY job. Like I think it's pretty good.
Okay, so Eric, I've built 3 picnic benches. And I need to clear coat them all. Do I bite the bullet, go ultimate quick shot, or do you think I could get a job like that done with the strap on one?
That's the perfect name.
The Graco strap on.
The Graco strap. That's what we're going to refer to as the strap on.
It's our title there.
That might be a show title.
Yeah.
Or one where they buy the strap on. Recommend the strap on.
There we go.
Good Lord. So here's using both of them. Here's what I would recommend. if you're doing DIY projects, I mean, like painting your fence, painting like a picnic bench, ripping some stain on something that's a very DIY friendly project, I would go with the strap on
okay,
all day. Now, if you're like redoing your kitchen cabinets and need a much higher level of finish, where it's just like, man, that looks like it was like done from the factory, go with the Ultimate Quick Shot for sure.
Do you
this lays it on thick?
Okay, yeah, do you have and any you can't adjust
with sputtering or anything like that.
I didn't.
Sputtering only occurred if I turn the speed of the drill way down.
Okay. And what about like when you're, okay, so when you first start it up, like a lot of drills don't go to max speed right away. They start kind of slow and then they build momentum.
Yes.
Was there any, do you have any issues with sputtering? I guess you kind of like start off
you'd the have to start object. Off the project, just like you should with any sprayer. Yeah. But yeah.
Cool.
But there was no like,
there's no like adjustment dial though.
Yeah. There's not there's not much to adjust to it. And then like I have the Wagner like about similarly priced one, and that's what I usually use. But that thing, it tends to like orange peel. You gotta and it's finicky with the paint. You gotta water it down and get it to the right consistency and really like strain it out and everything. With this thing, it's just got the little strainer hopper that goes on top and you strain the paint into it. And it goes on, like, you don't have to thin it or anything. And like I said, it goes on really thick, and it looked pretty good for, you know, outdoor projects is what I was doing.
I think that's why it, like, pressurizes itself in that cup and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure
yeah,
that helps sense. Spray it, but.
Yeah, the other one is, like, a gravity-fed thing, and I hate it. I've used it for a few things, and it's always just such a pain. But that suction system seems to work a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one that I had prior was like, I think it was called, it was on Amazon. I got it real cheap. It was like the Home Right something.
Oh, Home Right
or something like that.
Yeah.
It was okay. But I mean, I was never spraying anything that I needed a super like high quality finish. I would use it to like throw down some poly on like some shop projects or whatever like that.
Yeah.
I think it was like $75 maybe.
That's not too bad. So, okay, so, that's $75 sprayer versus the strap-on.
I'd go with the strap-on.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Better feeding system, even though it's maybe a little clunkier to operate, you get better results out of it.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't find it to be clunky at all.
Well, yeah. I'm just thinking, like, every time you want to use it, you're going to have to grab your drill and, like, set it up, right? Because as soon as you're done, you're going to want to disassemble it to use your drill for other stuff.
I'd say there's a trade-off there because it was a lot easier to clean than the Wagner one was for me. Like the Wagner one, I got to like take it completely apart, scrub down all the parts. This one, I just took a fresh cup, filled it with water, and just kept cycling in water until it came out clean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was, I wouldn't say it's not like janky or like flimsy or whatever. I would just say it's cumbersome.
Yeah.
Like, and it pleasantly surprised me. And that's why I was like, I'm fine doing the promotion. So,
I mean, did you actually spray clear coat on something, or were you just spraying water? I was curious.
No, it was a clear coat.
Oh, okay.
It was didn't take it for the camera?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought maybe. I was wondering.
It looked really clear, though, didn't it?
Yeah. I was wondering what you were using it for, because like you showed so many different things, and I was like, I don't understand. I watched it a couple times. And I was like, what is this that he's spraying that he's ending up using later on? Because it didn't seem to fit with anything else.
No, I was spraying a panel that was going on for like this like clamp rack thing. I'm not making a video on it. It's just I needed it in the shop. And I was like, I'll just throw some poly on it real quick. But I always put my first coat of poly on with a slight, I thin it slightly. I find it absorbs a little bit better, and then I will put on like full test coats after. So it just looks really, especially with a gloss poly, it has no like flattening agents in it. So it always looks way clearer than like the satin or matte poly that's like milky when you put it in. But yeah, it was thinned down. But
well, that's exciting.
Pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
I love it when it works out that way, right? Like, it's, you know, it's nice when cheap tools are good.
Yeah. Oh, fuck me.
I don't know about, cheap. It was like 100 and it was a retail water. For 190, 190, something like that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, relatively cheap.
Yeah, relatively, yeah.
Paint splatters, I mean, right?
I think it's, yeah, because like you look at like, you get like a Wagner or something like that for around 100, maybe a little more, but it's definitely worth, I think, that extra to get premium. To it.
Yeah. For everybody at home who's not watching the live stream, Eric spilled water on his keyboard, and that's why he swore. He's now making banging noises. He's trying to get the water out of his keyboard. Well,
he's adding to the chat.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, but I already asked Derek all the questions about the thing. Well, any other surprises about it? Anything you didn't expect?
No, like it operated pretty well. I do need to go out into the shop and clean it better because I didn't the tip of it I didn't clean out very well. But I know they said, and one thing that they mentioned in the instructions or whatever was to, if you're gonna not be using it anytime soon, to leave it with like a paint thinner or a cleaner prime it with some cleaner and leave it in there.
So what about if you're using a latex paint or you're using a water-based clear coat, do you just load it up with water?
Well, I want to say, and I may be wrong, but I want to say it said only water-based paints and clear coats are to be used.
I can see that. Okay. So, yeah, I didn't read so when you put it away,
I store water in my sprayers.
Yeah, you just put, okay. There's no risk of corrosion or anything like that? I guess they're designed in a way so that no.
I imagine they're aluminum.
Yeah.
I would imagine too.
What about that bag on it? Is that replaceable? Does that like wear out over mm-hmm. time? Do you get a few with it?
It came with two, and okay. I bought another three at the home center for $750. I want to say.
Oh, okay. So it's not bad.
So they're not that not crazy, but definitely like I mean they're going to add up if you're. But if you're not, whenever you're doing a big project, you're not going to be changing colors left and right. You're just going to keep topping off that one. So,
yeah. It's honestly, you know, I used to be really big, especially like paint tray liners and stuff like that. I used to clean those and keep them. And then I realized like, you know, they're $2 to somewhere between $2 and $5 each on the high end. It's like, what's your time worth? Do you have to sit there for so long scrubbing them to get them perfect? And I just throw them
out. It's called a consumable for a reason.
Right. Yeah. I feel bad sometimes, you know, you have like this big pile of garbage at the end of a job, but it's like, you know, you also have to balance it against, you know, like, do you want to go home and see your family or do you want to just keep cleaning paint trays all day?
Plastic paint trays.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd say there was a, there was a lot of paint left.
Yeah, so it was efficient in paint use, you think?
No, well, I mean, yeah, I think that might be one of my complaints is that the cup itself had a lot of paint like left inside of it, and like I turned it over and I kind of
is what you're saying.
Yeah, it didn't suck it all out, and then whenever I went to pour it back into the can, it didn't all pour in, so I kind of like squeezed a bunch of it in there, and there was still like thickly coated on the inside of that cup.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's paint.
Yeah. Well, the thing about a tool like that is I don't think you bring it out for a small job, right? It's, you know, you're going to be laying down a pretty good volume of material if you're taking that tool out. So what's, you know.
I probably wouldn't do much more than like painting a room with it, and that would be pushing it.
Yeah. Okay. You got your curly straw now? You're good? I went to a bar on.
It's gonna leak all over him.
I went to a bar on Friday night with some friends, and we ordered a pitcher of beer, and the waitress was like, "You guys want glasses with that, or should I just bring out three big curly straws?"
People actually drink beer with a straw?
No, not at all.
Some do.
My friends were looking at her like she was crazy for a second, and I started laughing. And she did it with a straight face. It was funny.
She was obviously kidding, I hope.
Yeah, totally.
You should have called her on it, see what she came out with.
Sometimes no like, you have those like, awkward exchanges with like waiters or whatever. And
It just one of the parties just completely doesn't get it, and you're like, "Nah, this is awkward now." This is
Yeah. I mean, I think as a server, you probably get a little bored. You interact with dozens of people all day long. It's like, I got to try out something and see if it lands with this guy.
Yeah, that'd be a perfect job for somebody starting as a stand-up comedian.
True. Yeah, just improv all night long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we're 40-some minutes in.
Yeah, well, okay, look, we did HD radio, we did the Graco strap-on, and stand-up comedy advice.
Yeah. And I almost ruined my keyboard trying to put this stupid-ass curly straw in.
I can't help but notice you're drinking the fancy fizzy water again. Was that a San Calabria?
Yeah. I robbed the clubhouse with all their San Pellegrinos. I just go over there, fill my pockets up with them.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Joe just pointed out in the live chat that sometimes you drink beer through a straw in college because it gets you drunk faster. I remember that rumor. I don't know if that's... Is that actually true?
I doubt it.
They used to say something about the bubbles makes you get drunk quicker, but I don't know.
Oh. Anyway. So, what have you been up to, Zach? What's going on, man?
Well, I was working on that Game Boy project, so I did a couple iterations of that. Here, I'll show you what the final... This is what the final clear polycarbonate ended up looking like.
Dude, that looks good.
Ooh. Yeah, it's not bad.
Everybody
home
is like
right?
a milky white color. Like, I'd say too lucid.
I called it a frost white in the video. But that's a good call. So what I did with this video was I made this, I did the whole thing, and then at the end I'm kind of like, okay, and now let's have it professionally 3D printed. So I'm going to pit two of these 3D printing companies against each other. So I sent off those files, and now I sent them off yesterday. So I'm waiting. Now they have to be fabricated in China and then sent over to me. So it'll be interesting to see. And they have these like limitations, like they tell you in the instructions that 0.8 millimeters is kind of like the thinnest thing that they recommend, the thinnest wall thickness that they recommend. And some of the internal parts of this are a little bit thinner than that. So they basically were like, we'll try and do it, but we can't guarantee that it's going to work out perfectly. So,
all right.
We'll see. I might waste a couple $100 having clear Game Boy cases printed that end up getting. Well, yeah, it was like, because again, I paid for the fast shipping and everything. One of them was, I think, 100, and one of them was $60. So,
okay.
Yeah.
But that's because you're doing the resin thing that's like, it's clear, so they have a lot of additional labor and everything that goes into it.
Includes printing, sandblasting, sanding, and then applying a clear coat to it. So,
it's worth your time.
Yeah, exactly. I've done it before in the past, and it was like a 5-6 hour endeavor for something that was much easier to process than this. It's got a whole bunch of like tight inside corners and stuff. So I'm more than happy to let them handle that.
What do you think? They just have some guy over there sanding his life away. Just
I wonder.
I hate this guy. He's too small. Oh, I can't stand him.
Yeah, I'm curious. Or if they have some sort of automated... Have you ever seen one of those, like, sand tumbler things? Where they're like...
Yeah, I saw it at Woodpeckers. It's like this... They have these, like, little, like, clay, like, pyramids. And they, like, tumble it around, like, with different grit, like, little pyramids around stuff.
Yeah, so cool. I'm wondering if they have some sort of system like that where it's a little bit more automated hands-off. I hope for the sake of the guy in the factory over there.
He's just cursing your name. He's like, Zach Bild, I'm going to find this guy and I'm going to hunt him down.
He's got my address if he needs to.
Curse his YouTube channel. So you got the Game Boy going on. The two professional ones back yet?
No. I just sent them off last night. So I'm waiting waiting to get those. About a week, something like that. Yeah. Thankfully, this video, I don't have to deliver until the first week of June, so I have some time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, and then outside of that, working on my next project, which I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about yet, so.
This is the one with that, like, unreleased product?
Yeah.
It's something in the audio or tech sphere.
Yes. The project itself is going to be an outdoor home theater system.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
how's that project going without divulging?
Very early stages. So I'm going to try to be a good Fusion 360er. I'm going to try and do everything on the parametric timeline. I'm going to try and do everything with as few sketches as possible. So I'm in the process now of meticulously 3D modeling the whole thing.
Okay.
And I'm going to try and do a very detailed 3D model of it. And all, not only the thing that I'm building, but all the, like, the components that go around it, I'm also going to 3D model those so I can see how they all fit together. Yeah. So by the time this project is done, it's going to be like 7 or 8 components that kind of interlock and connect together.
Have you ever taken one of your projects from Fusion 360 and done a 3D print of it, like on smaller scale, to just test things out? Or is that like a waste of time?
I've never done that, but you know what? I might actually do that for this project in particular. Yeah.
It's easy. It's like you literally just at the top of Fusion, scale it down. I just hit file 3D print. Yeah. It'll load into your slicer and it'll go, whoa, hey, this project is 6 feet long. and it goes, do you want me to just print part of this, or do you want to scale it? And you just go, oh, no, man, just scale it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay. It does all right.
So that was one challenge when I was printing this Game Boy case, is the polycarbonate, when you print it, it's hot, and then it cools a little bit and it contracts as it cools. So the parts would actually like pop off the build plate as they cooled because there was a little bit of tension in them. But one thing I noticed was that all my tolerances got kind of screwed up. So I had to go into my slicer and I printed this at 101% scale. So just ever so slightly bigger to account for that shrinkage when it finally cools down.
I was in the pool.
Yeah.
That's when you get the strap on.
Yeah. Shrinkage of their strap ons.
But it's going well. How's the performance of the Game Boy going?
Great. I mean, it's you kind of have to. Oh, here, I can boot it up now. But it's got like a nice, bright looking modern screen. It's got backlit buttons now. Ooh, it's got a new speaker system. Got a USB-C port on it here for charging. There.
Yeah, I see it.
So, yeah. So you kind of have to watch. You had to watch the video and see what the original screen looked like because it was nothing like this. So, yeah. It's pretty happy with how this turned out, actually. It was really fun to design something that was so small but so complex.
Right.
Yeah. Cause, like, there's dozens of mounting points in this. Like, even this little thing, like, it's got, like, a very clicky switch.
Ooh, yeah, that's very tactile.
But that's all mechanical. Like, that is actually just a piece of flexible plastic rubbing up against the notch inside the case. So I kind of had to, like, figure out, like, how all these little things work. I'm sure for Nintendo designers it was easy because they've done it dozens of times before, but it was my first time kind of figuring some of the stuff out, so it was fun.
And it's interesting to design stuff like that because you have to get really creative with, okay, well, physically it looks like this, but as soon as this piece interacts with it, it'll actually like bend a little bit or like...
Yeah.
Yeah. I find that so interesting. My brain doesn't naturally gravitate towards that stuff because I don't do it often, but when I figure something like that out, I'm like, I am the smartest man alive.
Well, and the nice thing about having something like relatively small like this is like, you know, 4 inches by 8 inches, something like that. Mm-hmm. I could, you know, print it out, assemble it, and be like, no, this thing is kind of rubbing against this thing. Go back into Fusion, change it, print it out, and round trip was like 1.5 hours or something like that. So there were some days where I was going through 5 or 6 versions in a day. So
that would be interesting in the video to, like, if you had kept all of them, be like, so here's what I ended up coming up with. But here's what you don't see. And they're like 50 Game Boy cases, like, already.
Just a graveyard. There you go.
Yeah.
You've got to just set them up like tombstones.
People get pissed off about that.
Ah, whatever. It's like, you know, honestly, each one of these is like 15 grams worth of plastic. So it's like the smallest fraction of a single roll.
You have to make some sort of joke like just to fire people up, be like, but don't worry, I'm environmentally cautious, so I'm just gonna melt it down in the oven and then like and then reuse it or something like that. People lose yeah. their mind.
Yeah.
you can't do that.
I'll just have my fire pit in the backyard and I'll just huck them all in. Get it nice and hot yeah. and just toss
Don't
them
Don't worry,
in.
You can always use all the excess plastic for your next outdoor adventure and then just start yeah. burning it. And then yeah. then like cut to a clip of you and Sophie like putting marshmallows over the fire
yeah.
and then eating them.
Yeah. yeah. Making s'mores.
Yeah.
Yeah, my girlfriend said we needed new plates, so I figure we'll use these now.
Yeah.
Just stick them in
yeah.
your cupboard.
yeah.
Just melt them. Yeah. Oh, that'd be pretty good. So, but the project's going well, I guess. Is the Game Boy yeah. completely finished? You're just kind of in the editing process?
You know what? It's been kind of an interesting project because this is how you work, I think, a lot of the time, where you do like, you go and shoot a bunch, and then you come in, you drop it on your timeline, and you kind of like organize it.
Right.
And so this was my first time. Well, not first time. I used to do that back in the day, but it's been the first time where I've, you know, I'd shoot for a day and then I would sit down. I would even record all the voiceovers and stuff.
Oh,
so
wow.
it's still fresh in my mind. And okay. so I've kind of, yeah, pieced a lot of the video together. It's basically, it's all sitting there waiting for Bryson to do the final edit. And mm-hmm. we're just waiting for the final pieces to come in and I'll do the final comparison.
Right on.
But yeah.
Are you on a timeline for this video? When do you have to have it out?
Yeah, it's just early June, so it's not even really that tight. Yeah.
Okay, you're fine.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it would I wanted comfortable, I wanted flex in the project because I didn't know how long it would take to have right. these be 3D printed, right? Like, if there's a week or something goes That's wrong right. and I need to redo it, I need that little buffer space, so.
Right. Yeah. So your build part of the project is done, but you still have to do, or build part of the video is done, but you still have to do a little part of the video where you have like, oh, but I got these professionally done.
Here's yeah. And I also have to do like the final comparison. Like, this is what the old screen looked like. This is what the new one looks like. Here's what the sound sounded like on the old one. Here's what it sounds like with the new speaker, blah, 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 blah.
So if you want to tell people,
yeah.
you can be like, so at the end, I want to know from you guys. Do you prefer the 3D printed one that I made or the one that got professionally done? Yeah. Let me know. Hit the subscribe button if you like the 3D printed one and hit the like button if you like, you know, yeah. the other
or
one.
The or the share
whatever.
Button.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. And
or
like,
just
that's
hit all the buttons.
And just like, just lean in and be like, that is the only way I'll be able to do a fair comparison. And it's like, it's kind of funny for the people who get it, but for the other people who don't, they're going to either hit subscribe or the like button.
Sure. Well, sure.
That's where the burning the plastic comes in again. You threaten them with, you know, if you want me to recycle this plastic, you got to hit the subscribe button.
Yeah. 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 That's funny.
And that's the only way I'll know. That's the only way you can vote on YouTube.
Did I tell you about this? On my last project, I ordered all these batteries, like dozens of batteries, because I was... getting them
yeah, they were outdated old batteries, so some of them were like dead.
Yeah, yeah. So it was, speaking of recycling things, I had like 10 of these batteries just sitting on my kitchen counter. I was like, what the hell am I going to do? Because you can't just throw them in the garbage because they might explode.
Well, you can, so, but.
Well, yeah, that's, yeah. so I had to like look up like the battery recycling place in my city, and I finally took them all there today.
Did you have to pay to recycle them though?
No, it was free because I think they don't want to give you any reason to just huck them in the ocean.
Yeah. They used to charge you to recycle like computers and laptops, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't do that anymore.
I don't think so. I know a place that will actually pay you to take... it's something ridiculously low. Like it's like 10 cents a pound or something like that for old computer components.
And that's where
there's like
them.
Car there's radio like gold in there. Like,
yeah. Yeah, there's a very small amount of gold in them and copper and stuff like that. Mm. So, yeah, there's some melt value to them.
We always have people that dumpster dive in our apartment.
Yeah.
Like, it's a trash compactor.
Ooh,
and they, like,
that's a little risky.
They get in there and they'll, like, come out with, like, a couple, like clothes hangers or, like, speaker wire or charging cables. I'm like,
yeah.
What are you doing in there?
That's a risky game. at my old condo, there was a garbage room, and people would put anything of value that was like, you know, like somebody might want this. There was like a pile just for stuff that's like, maybe somebody wants my garbage.
Yeah, like but, an end table or like a lamp or like something like that.
Yeah, it'd be like an end table with like a big ring on it. It's like, maybe somebody wants to sand this or refinish it, but probably not. But I'll put it to the side just in case.
Right.
Yeah.
You didn't ever, but you probably had people like jackpot found me some copper wire.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Well, over in my camp, I figured out how I'm going to attach the on that helix table. Yeah.
Yes.
I figured out how I'm going to attach the middle to the top and the bottom. I'm going to use dominoes. Because
just to fire people up.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Just fire people up. And I do this like folding technique. I know you haven't used the domino. So if you want to like put something in at a T, right?
Yeah.
Think of it like a bookshelf, basically.
Yeah.
On the piece that you're putting the domino into the end of, you're like, oh yeah, no problem, right? Mm-hmm. You just fire it in.
But how do you line it
up to the other
one? Yeah. Yeah. Good question.
It's what I call is the folding technique. So if you have the side of your bookshelf and the top in like your shelf itself, if you fold it over and then you have a line, if you plunge one way into the piece that's folded over and then the other way into the piece that's perfectly upside down, then when you fold them back, it's perfectly lined up.
Ah, cool.
It makes more sense once you actually see it in person, but it's
I think I get it.
Using the same reference face for the bottom of the domino so that they're perfectly aligned.
Yeah. But,
so I've got that going on. I haven't done anything because we spent the weekend on the wine box.
Oh, right. Okay, sorry. Hold on. Can we go rewind the clock just a second to the alignment thing with the dominoes?
Yes.
Because I just think I created a 3D printable product for you.
Ooh.
Like, imagine if you had a little half domino that you could put a pencil lead in or something like that. And then you could just, you know, you have two dominoes or three dominoes, you boop, 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 you put these half domino things in with a little pencil lead, and then you push your mating one against it, and it just makes a little mark right in the center.
Almost like when you use dowels, when you have like the dowel pins, the dowel center. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That is not a bad idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to ponder that one.
Yeah.
You've got my head spinning on that now. That's not a bad idea. We still need you to get you a domino. You've been talking about it.
I know. As soon as I come up with a good use case for one, I will buy one. But I just need to have the right project to make it worthwhile. Right.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, so there's been a slight...
And then wine boxes.
Yeah, there's been a slight delay on that project because we want to get the wine box down. We ended up finishing the wine box. Actually, I'll go get it. Give me just a second. It's in the other room.
Nice.
Okay. Stand by.
Well, we wait for that. Derek, you got anything on the workbench right now?
A couple things, but yeah.
So
nothing going right now.
Okay. Here's back.
Yeah, I'm back. It looks like this on the top. So it says Spensley and then has the date with some flowers and stuff. And then has like every 5 years afterwards carved on the top. And it's a sliding little lid. So inside you can put a bottle of wine. And then on the outside it says the Spensley is on it with some flowers and stuff.
Yeah.
We did this on the Shaper Origin and she had an absolute blast doing it. So I'd say it was a win.
So how did you fix your super complicated vector file problem?
Oh, yeah. So I reached out to Shaper, and I must not talk about this. I reached out to Shaper support, and I didn't think they were going to respond, right? Within, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours, I get the nicest reply from somebody at Shaper support. They're like, hey, we love the project. Love seeing what you did. We noticed that there are a couple little issues with the SVG file. I went ahead and fixed those all for you. Here's like the, you know, I fixed it on Adobe Illustrator. Here's the file for you to use. I'd recommend doing this, this, and this. But the other thing you could try is this, this, and this. However, I think your best method is basically cutting it into like four sections. So like one of the flowers is an SVG file. One of the other flowers SVG file. Then all the dates is an SVG file. But he said, but save it as the same dimension, right? So save it as 4 inches by 12 inches. Yep. So then when you basically overlay all the different SVG files on the shaper, they line up perfectly, but they only have the data of that small area. Like, dude, I was blown away by the level of support that I got from them. And it's free. Like, it's not something you pay for.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
And he's like, I already loaded it onto your shaper hub, so as soon as you turn on your shaper, it'll automatically be loaded on over Wi-Fi. I was like, good Lord, like, dude, that is customer service.
I'm you take it out for a car wash. <You know? laughs>
No. I'm surprised they can even do that. Like, they can just, like, you know, upload files to your account.
Yeah,
that's handy. Sweet.
It was super nice. So everything went super, super smoothly. More importantly, she had a blast doing it. And she's like, nice. I want to get out in the garage and help you with more stuff now. And I'm like, sure. Yeah, great. It's just a blessing and a curse. It's like, have you ever
tried to I want to do my double helix table. And she's going to be like, no, we got to do, you know, the outdoor bench project or something like that.
Have you ever tried to film something with someone in your shop that doesn't understand, like, really what you're trying to do? Just kind of gets in the way?
That sounds like absolute hell to me. I wouldn't even attempt it.
Yeah, it's tough.
So I imagine why can't we just do it this way?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, why?
Yeah.
Just don't film this part. It's like,
it's pivotal. Hey,
your elbow's in the way. Yeah. Yeah, so when I do stuff with her that I'm going to film, it'll, like, when we do the power carving, I'll just tell her, just go. Like, you do your thing, and then I'll take the camera. And it's actually easier because I can just get, like, 4 or 5 second shot, 4 or 5 second shot, 4 or 5 second shot. And then I've got tons of, like, just, like, quick, snappy, quick cutting footage. Mm-hmm. And that's easy. But if it's like, okay, go over to the miter saw and cut this, and now I have to, like, film that. It's like, well, I have to direct her of, like, okay, you're going to cut it here. Here's how you use this. Like, this is the safe way to use it. You know, all that kind of stuff. It's makes it challenging. So
yeah, totally.
Yeah. Filming something with your partner is not the easiest.
I imagine, though, if you did it enough with her, then you guys would kind of find a rhythm. And
You
would find, like, a workflow. I imagine it would be rough starting out, but then once you did it, you got a few reps in, I imagine it would actually be kind of fun.
Yeah. She enjoys the woodwork stuff, but it's like maybe a couple hours a month would be interested into it. Like, oh, we're working on a project. Hey, let's go out on a Saturday for, you know, 2 or 3 hours, and then I'm done.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she was like, why don't you get this wine box to the point where it's all good, where I just basically carve it. And then she did the box joints on the side too. Those are the parts that she did. And she was like, that was awesome. That was so much fun. So basically I carried it to the point where she could do what she was interested in, which now has made her more interested in wanting to do other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't want to mill lumber or sand.
Yeah. She got you to do all the crappy stuff and she got to do the fun stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's going to be the rest of my life.
You're like a getting robot into AI assistant for her.
Yeah, right. You're not wrong.
Isn't that how most of us got into this type of stuff? You start kind of close to the finish line and you start working your way back slowly, expanding on what you're doing.
It's true.
You just buy a sheet of plywood from Home Depot and rip it together. And then you're like, but what if I got hardwood? But what if I milled my own hardwood? Mm-hmm. But what if I cut down my own trees?
Now I got seeds.
What if I grow my own trees? Wait 100 years for them to grow. And then so I can finally build that wooden welcome sign.
What are the, so you got the date every 5 years.
Yeah.
Are
yeah.
these boxes for you guys or are they're things you're handing out?
Yeah. So we made 4 total boxes just cause it's like, if you're doing one, you might as well do multiple. Oh
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So the 3 that we have left are blank. So we didn't carve anything into them. Just ours is the one that was carved into it. So,
okay.
What we're doing on the wedding. Yeah. I would guess people listening, the wedding is this weekend. So
as people are listening to this, if they're listening to it as a podcast,
I'm at the wedding.
That's right.
Yeah. Walking down the aisle.
So during the ceremony, we're doing this thing where my sister's reading. I don't know. She's reading something. You can tell how much I was involved in this one. She's reading something, and then like we're putting in a bottle of wine in this wine box, and then we like both wrote a letter to one another. Mm-hmm. And then every 5 years we open up the box, you know, have the bottle of wine and like read the letters, and then we put in new letters. So it's almost like a time capsule. Okay. So 5 years from now, I'm going to open up a letter that's like, oh, you like, we're just about to get married. Here's things that I'm thinking of or predictions for the future and like stuff like that. It's just kind of like a fun thing that like kind of forces you to have like a reflection, like a date night thing. Right.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. That's cool.
So it was funny.
Eventually your kids will break into it and then steal the booze from mommy and daddy.
Right. Right. And you know, it was weird though, as we were doing the dates, we're like, 29, 34, 39, 44. And then I was like, how long should I go?
Yeah,
so the last date is April 27th, 2089, which would be when Miranda's 100 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell? That's not even a real date.
Don't limit yourself though. Add another 20 years on there, like just in case.
And then what if you guys cryogenically freeze? Do you stop it and then you got to start over again?
I think what you really got to do is just erase all that text and put a digital screen there so that you can just update it. It's infinite.
But then what, the technology goes out?
Well, yeah, that's a risky take. Definitely will in 100 years too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't know. But you know what the technology is going to allow us to do right now, though?
The BYOC.
Yeah, I think it's that time. We're well over an hour.
The bring your own caulking.
Bring your own strap on.
Yeah,
bring
your own. Yeah. Well, we'll wrap things up here, and we're going to head over to the live hangout with all the patrons. We're going to do that tonight, and the regular after show will be back next week.
That's right.
And we're having Vic from Stump Shop join us. So if you got specific questions for him, make sure to send it in over on Patreon or what is it? offthecutpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. Remind me to talk to Vic about this, but if you ever meet a guy and his name is Victor,
your secretary?
If it's spelled with, yes, if you're my AI assistant, if it's spelled with a K, it's a cool dude. But if it's spelled with a C, kind of a dorky dude.
Okay. I'm writing this as, if Vic is spelled with K, he is cool.
Yeah. If I already know it's spelled with K, so he's going to agree with me.
Well, everybody's already tuned out anyway. So everybody, thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
See you, everybody.
See ya.
Later.